was a gorgeous Mother's Day anthem. Thank you, choir. Paul, Beverly, thank you so much. And Jackson, thank you, and Peggy, for sharing with us this morning. It is hard to believe that it has been 24 years since we first met the lovable Forrest Gump. Sitting on that bench at Chippewa Square in Savannah, sharing the story of his remarkable life with a total stranger. You know, Tom Hanks won an Oscar for his portrayal of the slow-witted Forrest Gump, who truly lived a charm life with a front row seat to many of the significant events in the 60s and early 70s. You know it was Forrest Gump who taught Elvis Presley how to dance, who was an All-American football player for Bear Bryant at the University of Alabama, who was there when George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door, who met Presidents Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon, who won the Congressional Medal of Honor in Vietnam, who single-handedly defeated the Chinese table tennis team, who started a very successful shrimping business, and by the way, he was the one who discovered the Watergate break-in. Not to mention the fact that he was an original investor in Apple. And yes, I know that it is fiction, but the one who kept him grounded and motivated was his mama, who was played by Sally Fields. And you know, he was always saying, my mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. In this story that Kathy read for us this morning from the second chapter of John, one of the great, great stories in John's gospel, the first of the seven signs in John's gospel, when Jesus changes the water into wine. What a powerful story. It's theologically packed with all kinds of meaning. It was there that he revealed his glory for the first time. It was there the disciples first believed in him. But I want us to look at that story this morning from the perspective of Jesus' mama. Now, I want you to try to think what that story would be like if the mother of Jesus had not been there. Well, the truth is, there would be no story if the mother of Jesus was not there, or if she had reacted in a different way. They had been invited to a wedding in Cana of Galilee, which was a signature social event. Probably the biggest event in the life of any individual was a wedding celebration. It went on for a number of days. One of the worst things could possibly happen was the wine ran out. So the mother of Jesus goes to her son and said, you know what's happening here? They don't have any more wine. And Jesus responds, he says two things. First of all, he says, Mama, it's none of our business. Anybody have a mama who's always trying to fix everything, whether it's your family, their family, or somebody, random person at the grocery store? Mama, this is not our party. I mean, it's a bad thing, but now, when you read that, some people may think that Jesus was rather dismissive of his mother, but actually in the Greek, what he says to her is a very formal title of respect. It would be like him saying, Mother dear, this is not our problem. And then the second thing he says a very Jesus type of thing. He said, my time has not yet come. Now that sounds like Abraham and Elijah. That's a very Jesus type of statement. But Jesus' mama totally ignores him. She doesn't hear a thing he says, or she did, she just didn't pay. She turns to the servants, do anything he tells you to do. I know my boy, he's going to fix it. Now, a lot of people have tried to read a lot of meaning into this, but we shouldn't overinterpret this. I want to tell you what happened. Jesus' mama was just being a mama. That's all there is to it. She knows her son. She knows what her son can do, and she knows that her son can fix it. And you know what? He does. He does. After he had made that grand pronouncement, he changes the water into life-giving wine. I've been reading a book. Thank you, Jim Tate, for making me aware of this great new biography on the life of Martin Luther. It's written by Eric Metaxas. Some of you will know he's the one that wrote that great biography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. But I was reading about when Martin Luther, you know, he was a Catholic priest and he went into the monastery. And the priest had very disciplined and regimented structures and schedules and rituals. They would arise at 2 a.m. and spend 45 minutes in antiphonal hymns and chants. Joyce and I had the opportunity to go to a Benedictine abbey, and we were able to listen to the priests, to the monks, and we heard their beautiful, enchanting, hypnotic chants. It was a profound moment of worship. Well, they would do that for 45 minutes, and then they would recite what is known as the Salve Regina, which is Latin for "Save, O Queen." I want you to listen to the words. "Save, O Queen, our Mother of Mercy, our delight and our hope. To thee, we exiled sons of Eve, lift up our cry. To thee, we sigh as we languish in this veil of tears. Be thou our advocate, sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, thou Holy Mother of God." Now, most Protestants, and Baptists in particular, have always had a problem with the fact that Catholics will pray to Mary. But if you read this book, I think you're going to have a different understanding, because what Metaxas says is that at this point in church history, Jesus and God were both considered to be fierce judges. They were distant and remote. Even though the theology was very clear that Jesus was fully human and fully God, they sort of ignored that. And they felt like if there was one who could advocate for them, if there was one who could understand them, if there was one who could intercede for them on their behalf to a God who was rather remote, to Jesus who was distant, it was Mother Mary. And so they prayed to Mary to bring comfort. They prayed to Mary to show grace, to be understanding, and to be compassionate. Mama always said, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." That's so true, isn't it? We never know. We never know. Jackson, I was thinking about Miss Jean Davis. Jackson always called her Miss Jean Davis. Jean had a brother. I think he lived down around Wilmington. And he had always been healthy, always been active. One day he found out he had cancer. It was a very advanced kind of cancer, and he didn't have long to live. And Jean went to see him, and I'll never forget. When Jean came home, she told me, she said, "Ray, I sat there with my brother, and he kept saying, 'Jean, you never know. You never know. You never know.'" How many times have we gathered in this sanctuary for an unexpected funeral service and people are saying, well, they were just in church this past Sunday. I saw him. He looked so good. We never know. Because we never know, we need to turn to the God that we do know what to expect. To the solid foundation, to the solid rock, to the God who never fails and never changes. We have a God. We can depend on this God. He will always be faithful. He will always be there for us. In a world that is so uncertain. My mama always said, you've got to put the past behind you before you can move on. Isn't that true? We can't hold on to the past. We have to let go. We have to let go of all of those unfortunate things that have happened. We have to let go of all of those resentments, of all of the times we've been hurt in the past. We have to let go. And we have to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have to let go of the past before we can move to the future. And one more thing that Forrest Gump said. Mama always said that dying was a part of life. I sure wish it wasn't. My grandmother used to always tell me that. She'd say, Ray, death is a part of life. We know it, don't we? My mother is dying. I can't call my mother anymore. She doesn't know how to answer the phone. When my brother is there, if she's able to talk a little bit, he'll call me and I'll try to talk to her, but now she can't finish a sentence. Joyce's mother is dying. She'll be 95 years old in 2 weeks. Her health is not good. Her memory's not. Joyce will call her and talk to her and she won't understand who she's talking to, and then she won't remember. Dying is a part of life. I sure wish it wasn't. But this I do know. I know that when death comes to my mother, to Joyce's mother, death is going to come as a friend. Death will not come as an enemy, but death will be a friend because we come to the point in life when the quality of life has diminished so that we're not living. But the greatest promise and assurance that we have in Holy Scripture is this. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And I can stand before a family at the worst time of their life when they have lost someone dear, and I can say, this is not the end. We haven't come here to say goodbye. We will meet again. This is not the end because of the promise of life everlasting that we have in Jesus Christ. I wish it wasn't so, but I'm so thankful for the promise of the gospel. I'm so thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That all of you who have gathered here today who have lost your mothers, you haven't lost them. You know where they are. They're at home with the Lord. And one day, we will all meet again. There are three things that death cannot take away, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And today, on this Mother's Day, I pray that you would be surrounded by love, if not, hopefully, the love of your family, but most importantly, you are surrounded by the love of God that never fails.